Hello friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is June 13th and I'm Campbell. And today we're going to be studying our Newsworthy Clips article for this month. So if you've got your Advanced magazine, please get it out and open to page 22. But before we get into our article for today, I would love to introduce our panelists. To my left, we have Linda. How are you doing today, Linda?
I'm good. Thanks, Campbell. It's always great to be here.
Yeah. Do you use Facebook?
I do, but I'm not really a social media person. I use it because, yeah, I sort of have to keep up, but I try not to.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll learn more about how you feel about Facebook and social media later. And to my right, we have Albert. How are you doing today, Albert?
Oh, hello. Sorry, I was on Facebook. No, I wasn't. But yes, I do use Facebook more than I would like. I'm super excited about sharing this article with everybody.
Yes. All right. So Facebook has changed the world, and it's changed how we interact with one another and how we interact with the world. It is the largest social media platform, and it provides a lot of media that we consume every day. But what I love is that it doesn't, they're not the ones that produce the media. You know, we, the users of Facebook, produce the media. But, you know, I feel like for most people, they don't usually think about, well, what is it like for people who, you know, are visually impaired or who have other types of impairment? What would it be like for them to use Facebook? But what I love is that there's a team at Facebook who actually is focused on this, right? And their complete focus is learning how to, is figuring out how to use, how to help make Facebook more accessible and more user-friendly for people with special needs. So today we are talking about Facebook's new tools to help the blind navigate social media. All right, sounds like a very interesting topic. So let's get into our article. Again, we are on page 22. Please join us at the left-hand column.
Facebook's new tools to help the blind navigate social media. Nikila Wright's life took an unexpected turn when she lost her eyesight as a teenager. But even when her world became immersed in darkness, the New Jersey resident didn't want to quit social media. I'm not even going to lie. I was 18 years old, and I was a Facebook junkie, said Wright, who is now 23. Facebook is a good outlet to say how you feel and what you think. Navigating Facebook was a challenge at first. Diagnosed in 2010 with pseudotumor cerebri, Wright learned how to use a screen reader to peruse the site through the tap of keystrokes and sound of a robotic voice. Still, when a friend tags her in a photo, Wright often has no clue what the image shows.
All right, so again, we're talking about Facebook's new tools to help the blind navigate social media. Now, again, just the blind are just people who are visually impaired, people who are not able to see. And, you know, why would that be a problem? Why would people who can't see need special tools to use Facebook? Sounds like an obvious question, but let's talk about it.
Right. Well, Facebook, I mean, it's web-based, and what you see on Facebook, it's, well, you have to have vision to be able to see. Mm-hmm. There are videos that you can click on and listen to, but for the large majority, it's something that you have to see or read.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is really important because, you know, they also have a voice, and Campbell said to me this earlier before, which is like, you know, all the content on Facebook is user created, user generated.
Right.
And it's a way for people to be able to connect. So, you know, for people who are visually impaired, they can be able to stay in touch with Campbell, and vice versa, Campbell is able to hear their voice when they share using Facebook, and they're now able to because of these new tools.
Right. So let's, before we get into the article, talk a little bit about how visually impaired people, blind people, how they actually use computers and how they use technology. There is a lot of new technology now that helps visually impaired people. It's called assistive technology. And basically what this technology does is it reads and it describes what is on the computer screen. So they can hear through audibly what is on the screen. All right. So what a lot of companies are doing now is creating code that are partners with this technology so that the computer is able to read aloud what is being shown on the screen. And that is what Facebook is trying to do more of. Now, we start our article today talking about a story of a woman named Nakila Wright. Now, what happened to Nakila Wright?
Well, she lost her eyesight when she was just a teenager. So in her case, she wasn't born blind.
Right.
She had vision until she was 18 years old, and then she became blind.
Right. That's kind of intense, right? I mean, if you imagine, you know, for the first 18 years of your life, you're able to see, and then all of a sudden, you can't.
Right. So I wonder, you know, which one. Which situation would be more difficult to cope with, being born blind and, you know, never have been able to, you know, see, or having vision and then that being taken away from you.
Right. Well, what do you think, Albert? Which one do you think, if it were you, which one do you feel like would be harder to...
Gosh, it's actually a topic that's come up, you know, during dinner discussions, like what if or would you rather. I would say equally, both of them are equally difficult.
Oh, for sure.
I wish, yeah, I'm fortunate and I'm thankful that I don't have to choose.
Well, it's hard to imagine since we all were born with vision to imagine a world, being in a world where you've never seen anything.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love the description that the author uses. It says, the writer says, Nakila Wright's life became immersed in darkness. And immersed is one of our vocabulary focus words. Can one of you explain what it means to be immersed in something?
Well, if you're literally immersed in something, you're submerged. Like if we talk about being immersed in water, you're completely covered by it. But in this case, it's being completely involved in something.
Right.
So she was immersed in darkness. She was completely surrounded by darkness because she lost her eyesight.
Right. So again, imagine being able to see and then all of a sudden everything goes black and you're not able to see anything. Now, it does tell us that... she became blind when she was 18 years old, and then she used a special, a really interesting description of herself. What does she say that she was?
That she is or was a Facebook junkie. Now, usually when we hear or use the word junkie, we think of addicts, people who have an addiction. We usually associate it with some vice like drinking, drugs.
Right.
But here she was a Facebook junkie. She's just addicted to Facebook, something, you know, I think that's normal for young teenagers or young adults. And it's quite sad. I mean, like, the idea is, like, you know, checking your Facebook is something that we do all the day during our downtime, and it's such a frivolous thing, but she's not able to even be able to access it or, you know, do it.
Right, because she lost her sight. Now, would you say you're a Facebook junkie, Albert?
I'm not going to commit myself to anything on air.
Linda, what do you think? Are you a Facebook junkie?
I'm certainly not a Facebook junkie. I just want to point out that word junkie we can use for different things. Anything that you're really interested in and you have a strong interest or addiction to that you can't get enough of.
Right.
You say you're a junkie.
Yeah.
Like maybe you're an adrenaline junkie.
Right.
Like you can't get enough of the activities that, you know, cause you to get excited or produce a lot of adrenaline. So I think we can be junkies about different things.
Yes, and a lot of people don't want to admit that they are junkies, but, you know, if you really think about it, can you go through a day without looking at Facebook? And how many times a day do you check Facebook? If you check more than 4 or 5 times a day, perhaps you are a Facebook junkie.
Right.
All right, well, so she... Nakila Wright was a Facebook junkie, and she says Facebook is a good outlet to say how you feel and what you think, so it's a place for people to express themselves. But once she lost her sight, navigating Facebook became a challenge, right? Because she couldn't see. Now, what was it that caused her to lose her sight?
Well, her condition was pseudotumor cerebri.
Yep, pseudotumor cerebri, right? So the idea is, and we have that in our specialized term, it's a rare health condition where pressure increases around the brain and can result in the loss of vision. And I did a little research on this, and basically this condition is, no one knows what causes the pressure, right? Mm. And so a lot of times the symptoms seem like there's a brain tumor, which is where this term pseudo tumor comes from, right? Pseudo means just not real. It's pretending. So it seems like it's acting like there's a tumor, but when they go in and they look at the brain, they don't find anything. So they don't know what is causing the pressure, but there's excess pressure in the brain, and that causes the person to lose their sight. Nikhila Wright had this condition, and she lost her sight, and she learned how to use a screen reader, and we talked about that earlier. A screen reader is what reads the screen, to peruse the sight through a tap of keystrokes and sound of a robotic voice. Okay. So we have the word peruse here.
Right, and that means to look through something. Like, if you go shopping, you might peruse the clothing, mm-hmm. or if you're in a bookstore, you would peruse the books to find something that you like or that you're interested in.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so people peruse Facebook, they look through it, they read the different posts that people are putting up. And she's using a screen reader to read, so basically she hears a robotic voice, right? So things like, navigating Facebook was a challenge at first, diagnosed in 2010 mm-hmm. with pseudotumor cerebri. So that, you know, that monotone voice.
Right, right. Very robotic.
Okay. But she faced a problem, right? And what was her problem, Albert?
Well, when a friend tags her in a photo, you know, people love tagging each other, she had no clue what the image was.
Mm-hmm.
The software was good, but not good enough. It was only able to handle with text.
Right.
Because usually in a web page, it's displaying code or words of lines.
Right.
Or lines of words. And with photos, it's just an image.
Right.
Right. So here, you know, Facebook is trying to bring a new tool that can help them.
That's because right.
I feel like, yeah, you know, Facebook, it's a lot of visual content as well.
Right. And I mean, if you think about it, when you post a picture on Facebook or Instagram, how often are you writing a description of the photo, right?
Oh, the captions. Right.
Right. You might say, okay, me and this is Linda, Albert, and I in the studio. But it's not like we are sitting in the studio. The studio is red and we have winter sweaters on, you know, things like that, you know. Or it's not being described in detail, right?
Right. Right.
And so friends tag her, which just means that, hey, this person is in the photo.
Mm-hmm.
She's being tagged in the photo, but she doesn't know what the photo is showing.
Exactly. All right.
Okay. So what is Facebook doing to rectify, to fix this problem? Well, let's keep reading in our article and see.
Ongoing efforts. Facebook is trying to solve this problem by harnessing the power of artificial intelligence to create new tools that not only describe items in a photo, but also allows users to ask what's in an image. An estimated 285 million people are visually impaired globally, according to the World Health Organization. And research conducted by Facebook showed that blind users have trouble figuring out what's in a photo because the description isn't clear or doesn't exist.
All right, so Facebook is trying to solve this problem that we've been describing. And how is Facebook doing that?
They're harnessing the power of artificial intelligence. And whenever I hear the word harness, I usually think of like the straps they put on a horse or whatnot.
Right.
But in this sense, it's to make or use control of natural resources or artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is artificial intelligence or AI?
Artificial intelligence is kind of tricky to navigate, to define because we haven't achieved it yet. But basically, it is computer software that's able to think for itself not like doing predictions, but it's able to be cognitive and realize and think out.
Right. So artificial intelligence is computer software that acts like our human brain, basically, right? So they're able to think, they're able to process and make decisions. And so in this case, when someone posts a photo, they're able to describe it. You know, part of the problem with Facebook is because a lot of the content is user-generated, so they're not able to control what gets put on there, right? So a lot of websites are static, right? So maybe it's a clothing store as a website, you know, so they post the photo, they're the ones that put it on there, so they can put a very clear description, right? But the problem with Facebook is because it's all user generated, they're not able to control what gets put on there, right?
I think a bigger problem as well is just, you know, usually people, because, you know, day-to-day activities, I don't think about, whenever I post something on Facebook, I'm like thinking for all my audience. And, you know, some people do have friends who are blind or family members and relatives. Then when that happens, you know, they realize, like, oh, there are these hurdles that I'm putting, things that I'm putting out there, they're like other people cannot be able to view it as well or be able to consume it as well.
Right. Yeah, and that's part of what we were talking about earlier, is just a lot of us don't have that mindset, right? A lot of us don't have that mindset to think, oh, yeah, you know, if I post this, you know, someone who's visually impaired is not going to be able to know what I'm posting, you know? And recently I have I've made some friends who are hard of, you know, they're deaf basically, so they have hearing impairment, you know, and that's really opened my eyes to things like, oh, you know, if they watch a video, they're not going to be able to hear the music, they're not going to be able to hear the dialogue, so, you know, there needs to be subtitles and things like that. So, yeah. So being more aware, and I feel like that's part of what Facebook is trying to accomplish. Now, we find some statistics here about how many people are visually impaired globally. Can you tell us about that, Linda?
Right. That's an estimated 285 million people in the world who are visually impaired. And this doesn't mean that they're completely blind. Visually impaired people include ones who maybe can see, maybe have some vision, but their vision can't be corrected to a normal level.
Right.
So maybe some of us who have vision impairment, maybe we can wear glasses or somehow we can correct it. But this group of people, they aren't able to see at a normal level.
Right. Okay. And this is a statistic that is given by the World Health Organization, who they're the ones that study basically health on a global level. And research conducted by Facebook showed something interesting, Albert.
Right, that blind users, you know, as we've been talking about, have trouble figuring out what's in a photo because the description isn't clear or doesn't exist. Again, it's something we take for granted, and, you know, after reading about this, it's like, wow, it's an eye-opener.
That's right. Okay, so let's go into more detail about what Facebook is doing to solve this problem. Let's finish our article on the right-hand column of page 22.
Facebook engineer Matt King, who is part of the company's accessibility team, is blind, so he knows firsthand what it's like to use social media without sight. Facebook has made it easier to skim through the content on its website with a screen reader by improving HTML headings, adding alternative text for images, launching keyboard shortcuts, and more. Using artificial intelligence to describe photos, King said, is only a part of these ongoing efforts. With 1.5 billion users, Facebook isn't the only social media company that wants to improve its website for the visually impaired. Along with Facebook and other major tech firms, Twitter and LinkedIn have their own accessibility teams and belong to an initiative called Teaching Accessibility.
So I think it's pretty cool what Facebook is trying to do, and they're constantly being aware of what their users need. Now we meet Facebook engineer Matt King. Now what is special about Matt King, and what makes him so suitable to be on this accessibility team?
Well, he's also visually impaired. He's blind.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows firsthand, or he himself has had personal experience in using social media without sight.
That's right. So we see a picture of Matt King on page 22 there. So he himself is blind. He's visually impaired. So he knows personally what it's like to use social media. So I feel like he can give special insight, and that's what makes him a really great member of this team, right?
Exactly.
The accessibility team. Now, the accessibility team, again, is a team that is put together to make Facebook more accessible or more user-friendly for those who are visually impaired or have other disabilities. All right. So, Facebook has done something to make it easier to use for people who are blind. And what is that?
Right, so Facebook has made it easier to skim through the content. Usually when I hear of the word skim, I think of skim milk at Starbucks, which is like non-fat. But in this context, it's talking about how to go over something quickly or be able to go over it quickly. And usually when we see a website, there's all this coding behind the scene where it tells you like where to place something.
Mm-hmm.
When you click something, there's this animation that pops up, right?
Right.
But there's also, you know, earlier we mentioned there's special software that needs to read such content to visually impaired people. And so
mm-hmm.
they're making it cleaner so the software is able to go through it and explain it in detail.
Right.
Of how to, like, oh, what's being displayed or what this post is about.
Right. I actually use this screen reader myself. I'm not visually impaired, but I use it to read Chinese, you know, sometimes.
Oh.
Because, you know, I grew up in the States, so I didn't learn how to read Chinese till I was a lot older. So when I read Chinese, it's very slow, and sometimes I don't know the words. So sometimes I'll use the screen reader on my phone, and I'll click the text, and then the phone will read it to me. And, I mean, I understand Chinese, so I can understand what it's saying, so that helps me to just be able to read things faster and saves me time.
Mm. Wow, that's one benefit of a tool that I feel like it was designed for something else, but it didn't realize it could be used for other things.
For sure, yeah. Mm. So, you know, if you need help with English, you could use that too. Facebook is making it easier by changing some of its HTML headings, so a lot, again, codes, and they're adding alternative text for images, launching keyboard shortcuts, and more. All right, and using artificial intelligence to describe photos, King said, is only part of these ongoing efforts. So they're trying to constantly improve Facebook. All right, now Facebook isn't the only social media company that's doing this, right?
No, it isn't. There are other social media companies such as Twitter and LinkedIn that are mentioned here, and I'm sure other ones who want to make their content available to people who have impairments. I mean, it's good for them,
mm-hmm.
And also it makes it much more user-friendly.
That's right. And so Twitter and LinkedIn have their own accessibility teams and belong to an initiative called Teaching Accessibility. And basically, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, raising awareness, you know, raising awareness, helping engineers and other people to be aware of that need, you know. And so they'll constantly do polls of their users to figure out what needs to be improved, and then they'll pass that message on to the engineers. And a lot of the response they're getting is, oh, you know, I didn't think about that, but that makes sense, you know, let's fix that, let's do something about it. So I think that's really, really good, and trying to make this world of social media more accessible, more easy to use for people with visual impairment.
Right. I mean, it kind of sounds almost frivolous, like, oh, we're going to be able to let more people use Facebook. But it's twofold. One, it's like, you know, they don't want to exclude anyone
right.
from being able to connect. But also, it's so, again, like I mentioned earlier, it's just so you can hear their voices as well. You know, Twitter has become really powerful in some countries where there is revolutions.
Mm-hmm.
People are able to tweet about things that are happening, injustices.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, you know, if we give that tool to everyone and they have accessibility to it, they can also report
right.
and share.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in we have a sidebar in the middle of the page there, and Wright gives us a little bit insight into how she feels about this new technology. Can you read that for us?
Sure. It's entitled Clearer Picture. I can have a basic picture in my mind of what's going on in the picture, and now I can comment on my own, said Wright, who got to try out the new tools that are still being tested. Of course, it's different, but it's something more than I had.
Right. So again, this helps them to be able to interact more. And as Albert was saying, we're not excluding them, right? Before, they weren't able to really know what was in the picture, so they're not able to comment and, leave their own thoughts, right, and interact with the media. But now, because they have a better idea of what's being posted on the internet, they can respond, you know.
Right.
That allows them to be more interactive.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully this doesn't encourage her to still be a Facebook junkie. There's good stuff on Facebook. I used to think that Facebook was evil, but, you know, there's some positive things about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely, as Albert was saying, there are some really great uses for Facebook, you know, raising awareness of social issues and things like that. So, what do you think about this new tool? You know, is this something that you've ever thought about? Is this something that maybe is new to you? If you're an engineer, maybe this is something that you can think about for your own company, your own products, making your products more accessible to people with special needs. Well, we hope that today's article was interesting to you. We've got two more newsworthy Clips articles coming up in the next couple of days. We hope that you'll come back and join us again. Take care, everyone.